The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 26. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 7th, 2014, in Suriname, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yato yato nishchalati. Manaschanchalam astaram tatas tato nayam yaitad tatas tato nayam yaitad atman yeva visham nayet atman yeva visham nayet.
Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind and therefore the senses as well is called Goswami or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Jivishakanvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sramaniti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. There are so many gurus in this world. Why follow Prabhupada? And one could ask, there's so many gurus, why follow Prabhupada? Well, I'll tell you why. Prabhupada is not an ordinary spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was especially chosen by Krishna to come to this planet and to write his books, which will be the guiding principles for the whole world for the next 10,000 years. Gradually, Prabhupada's books will become the standard guidebooks for every country, every community, every sect of religion also. The Christians will study Prabhupada's books, the Muslims will study Prabhupada's books, the Buddhists, the Sikhs, the Jains, everyone, the Hindus. Prabhupada's books will become the standard principles of how to awaken love of God, you see. Every religion will follow Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books will be the standard guiding principle by which the governments will run their governments. Now the governments are topsy-turvy. Just like in your country, if someone commits a murder, he cannot be killed. But an innocent baby can be killed, you see. That is your law in this country. You can kill innocent babies, but you can't put criminals to death. You can put innocent babies to death, but you can't kill criminals who've murdered people, you see. This means the governments are becoming demoniac all over the world. Demoniac governments, based on lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And with such governments, nobody can be happy. The whole society runs on the platform of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. It's crazy. You can kill babies, but you can't. You can put a baby to death, an innocent baby, but you can't put a criminal to death if he commits a murder. Even though that is the law in the Mana Samhita. A murderer must be put to death. You may say, but that's so cruel. But actually, it's not cruel. Because now, when the government puts a criminal to death, a murderer to death, now he's relieved from the karma of having committed that murder. Now he, in his next life, he has a clean slate. But if they simply lock him away in the prison, he has that karma hanging over his head his whole life, and in his next life, he will be killed. You see? He will get his karma, in the next life, he will suffer that being killed as a reaction for that murder, you see. So you've not helped that criminal. You've tortured him. If he finishes up his karma now, then his next life he starts clean. He got his karma over with and he starts clean again, you see. So the government leaders, they don't understand such things. They can kill innocent babies, but a murderer, you cannot put him to death. It would be not, it'd be cruel to a murderer to put him to death. So in such a society where there's no proper guidance coming from the scriptures, no proper guidance coming from the spiritual master, people cannot be happy. People are just fighting, competing to get a little sense gratification, that's all. The whole society is a struggle. Everyone's struggling to get some sense gratification. But they're never happy. Even those who succeed, who come on the top, by karma, they become powerful, they become wealthy, they become famous. They are not happy. We see so many superstars in the music world, they become addicted to heroin. They die from drug overdoses, big superstar, wealthy superstars. You see, they're famous, they're wealthy, and they're miserable. If you actually want to become happy, then you have to follow some guidelines coming from God Himself. You must follow God's instructions. God is the supreme authority. Krishna, God, He is the supreme authority. If you do not follow the supreme authority, you cannot be happy.
in any material position. You will not, even if you're Brahmaji, the chief demigod of the entire material universe in which we live, if you don't follow Krishna, you cannot be happy. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna Mamupechya Kaunteya Punarjanmanavyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all their places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janna vidyate, he never takes birth again. So if you want actual happiness, you have to learn how to attain to the abode of Krishna. This material world is marchalok. It's a place of misery. That's a fact. If you want real happiness here, you have to connect with Krishna. You have to connect with the transcendental abode of Krishna. You will not find any happiness here. So how do you connect with Krishna? By love. Krishna doesn't need anything material that you have. He has unlimited opulence. There is one thing and one thing only that Krishna wants from you, and that is your love. Is it? Now we're putting our love in so many other places. We're loving this flesh. We're loving dog. We're loving cat. How much love we are giving to God? Is it? We have to learn how to love God. You think God is some impersonal energy? That's what many gurus say. That's why we reject such gurus. They present God as some impersonal energy. You can't love impersonal energy. Impersonal energy is there. It is the aura of God. Ahang. He says, that is described. That is the called the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Lord's body. That energy exists, but the person is is where you put your love, into the person. Huh? Brahmano Pratishtaham, yes, that is the verse, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am the source of that Brahman. So most gurus, they say, well, that Brahman is the supreme. You have to merge into that Brahman and become God. That is not love of God, you see. Wanting to become God, that's envy of God. You don't develop a relationship with somebody by becoming envious of them, wanting to achieve their position. You develop a relationship by love, not by envy. You see. These Mayavadi gurus, they teach you to merge with God, become God. But Prabhupada is not such a guru who misguides the students. Prabhupada explains, God is a person, Krishna is a person. He has so many pastimes. These are not just some make-believe stories. These are historical. The descriptions given of Krishna Leela in the Bhagavatam, they are not some make-believe poetries. They are factual histories of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was on this planet Earth 5,000 years ago in India. So that person is real, and his pastimes are continuing at this very moment in the transcendental world. What he showed here 5,000 years ago was a sample, or as they say in the movie industry, a trailer. They used to call it a sneak preview. Krishna is giving a sample of his activities in the spiritual world. So you want to see the whole movie. You see? They show you a trailer to attract you to see the entire movie. So Krishna is giving you a trailer. His Leela, 5,000 years ago, is a Vrindavan Leela. It's a trailer. So you'll be attracted to catch the full featured film in the spiritual world, you see. Get your ticket for Goloka Vrindavan. See the full movie. And you get to be a part of the movie also. Now what movie in Hollywood movie will offer you that facility? You get to jump through the screen and be in the movie. But Krishna says you can jump through the screen and you can actually be in the movie. Well, let you be in it also. You can have a role in Krishna's Leela. You can be a cowherd boy, you can be a cowherd girl, you can be a cow or a calf if you like. How would you like to be a flute? You can be a flute if you like to be a flute. Or you can be a butterfly or a peacock. You can even be a blade of grass. As Uddhava wanted to become a blade of grass. Or you can become a particle of dust if you like to have that role. Whatever role you want to play. Whatever role. Gopi, Gopa. Whatever role you want to play, you can have that role, you see. But you have to learn how to qualify yourself. You have to qualify yourself by becoming Dasa, Dasa, Nudasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. You can't just jump to some identity in the spiritual world. The reality is that you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and from him you learn the art of pure bhakti. You have to go through the medium of the spiritual master. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Tasmad gurum prapadita yagashu shreya uttamam shabde pare tanishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. If you're anyone who is serious to achieve shreya uttamam, genuine happiness, must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So how do you find a bona fide spiritual master? The verse explains that. The bona fide spiritual master has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation, and he is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. So to achieve your original position in the spiritual world, you have to take shelter of a spiritual master by initiation. And then the spiritual master trains you, he guides you, he purifies you, by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. He purifies you, he enlightens you, he pulls you out of the ignorance of bodily consciousness, he pulls you out of the illusion of lust, the illusion of anger, greed, madness, and envy. He pulls you out of the darkness of ignorance and brings you to the transcendental platform of pure love of God. And when you come to that level, then you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. But that's a very exalted state, not for the neophytes. Don't think that you're there yet, because you're not. Even if you're initiated, don't think you're there yet. You have to be completely free of all lust, all anger, all greed, all madness, all illusion, all envy. Totally clean of all these things. There can't be any trace of contamination in your heart. Completely, spotlessly pure devotee. You see, then you can realize these things. But we can hanker for that day. But when will that day come? I become the pure devotee. When will that day come? I'm hankering for that day. I'm hankering. You see, I'm hankering for that day. So if you take up this process seriously, according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the words of Krishna in the scriptures under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge will become revealed to you. Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaiti katita hirata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have taken, who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So you have to have faith in the words of Guru. You have to have faith in the words of Krishna. If you're doubting, then you have to inquire submissively that Guru Maharaj, I have this doubt in my heart. Please help me to get free from this doubt. Explain to me what is the proper understanding, because I have this doubt in my heart. We'll have their paper passed around. We're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to have questions and answers. So if you have any doubts in your heart, now's your chance. Write your questions on the paper and pass them forward now, so we can answer your questions and kill the demons of doubt, which are standing as obstacles on your pathway of progress in Krishna consciousness. So if one will become free from all doubts, having full faith in the words of Sri Guru and the words of Sri Krishna Bhagavan, that everything becomes revealed to you. You'll have perfect knowledge, revealed knowledge of the Vedic conclusions, and your pathway back to home, back to Godhead, will be unobstructed. Now, as we study in this verse, we have a big problem. We have a big obstruction. And what is that problem? The flickering mind. The mind flickers. Even sometimes when we're giving a lecture, we can look at the audience and we can see whose mind is fixed and whose mind is flickering. It's said the face is the index of the mind. We can look at your face and we can see who's tuned in and who's orbiting around the Milky Way out there. Whose mind is orbiting, looping the loop around the Milky Way, you see. So if you give your attention to the words of the spiritual master, and you give your attention to the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then by that fixing your mind on the words of the spiritual master, by fixing your mind on the Hare Krishna Mantra, then gradually, gradually, gradually there will be a cleansing of your heart and you'll become a pure devotee. So now we'll answer some questions. How does one develop a taste for chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra? By chanting it. That's all. In the beginning, there's no taste. This is described in the Nectar of Instructions. Shat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya Pato Pitasya Rasanasya Narochikanu. That by carefully chanting these names, it begins that the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is destroyed gradually at the root. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapyava Pito Patasha Rasanasya. I'm forgetting the last half of the verse. How does it begin?
What is the verse number?
Upadesh Manita 7. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapyava Pito Patasha Rasanasya Naroshikanu Shan. And then. Oh yeah, kint vada dadanu lidang kadushai vajustas vadvisvada kramad tat garamula hantri. I meant that, but kint, the word kint I was missing. Kint vada dadanu. So, there's the answer. You have to carefully chant them every day. The names are sweet, But right now, we taste them as bitter. Just like if you're suffering from jaundice, sugar candy tastes very bitter. But you take the jaundice and you take that candy, and even though it's bitter, on the order of your doctor, and you take it every day, the candy, sugar candy. So even if the holy name is bitter, you chant it every day carefully on the order of your spiritual master, and then by that carefully chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day, gradually the natural sweetness will come back. Okay, what is the importance of Siksha Gurus? Prabhupada explains, actually you have only one guru. Just like you have only one father. You have only one guru, the guru who initiates you. You have only one guru. But others who help you to serve the order of your spiritual master, who help you to connect with your spiritual master, they are Siksha Guru, you see. Not if someone tells you something different, they are not Siksha Guru. The one who helps you to surrender to your spiritual master, he is your Siksha Guru, you see. So, they are very helpful. It's like I have many godbrothers. And for me, they are Siksha Gurus because they inspire me in my service to Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, our society, our ISKCON movement, everyone should be a Siksha Guru here. That means I encourage you to surrender to your spiritual master. Sometimes it's the opposite. It's like one lady, she was aspiring to become my disciple, and one other devotee said, "Oh, he's not qualified to be a spiritual master. Why do you want to surrender to him?" Can you imagine? That's very, very offensive. And that lady realized her mistake, and she apologized. If you tell someone, "Oh, your guru is not really, that guru is not really qualified. Why do you want to become a disciple of him? You should take initiation from someone else." That's a very demoniac thing to do, and one should never do such a thing, you see. If someone is inspired to take a certain devotee as their spiritual master, you should act as their Siksha Guru and encourage them. "Oh, very good. You want to take shelter of such and such guru? Very good." You should encourage people. Whoever they're inspired to take their diksha from, Siksha Guru means you help them, you encourage them in their relationship with their Diksha Guru, not that you try to change them or discourage them. Then you're a demon. That's all. You're simply a demon. Siksha Guru means you help them in their relationship with their Diksha Guru. Then you're a Siksha Guru. How can the children feel the enthusiasm of Krishna? Feel like enthusiasm of Krishna by their parents? How can the children feel the enthusiasm of Krishna by their parents? Well, the parents have to be enthusiastic, that's all. If the parents are simply making a show of Krishna consciousness, the kids will know. You can't fool a kid, is it? If the parents have genuine enthusiasm, kids will naturally take it up. So if you want your kids to take up Krishna consciousness, you have to be genuinely enthusiastic about it, not like a show bottle. If you have genuine enthusiasm, your kids will take to it like a duck takes to the water. Why Krishna told Arjuna to read Mandik Upashada instead of the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam? I haven't read that in the Bhagavad Gita. How do I know it's even bona fide? How can one love Lord Vishnu but at the same time criticize Lord Krishna? You can't. It's not possible. It's demoniac. When someone is not wrong and another person lies on him, what is the reaction of the lied person? If you commit Vaishnava Parad, you're killing your devotional creeper, that's all. You're killing it. How can a person become a pure devotee when there are many anarthas in his life?
By taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, by initiation and following your spiritual master with love. That's how. What is the secret of chanting Hare Krishna attentively because the mind is always flickering? You ever sucked on a piece of candy? Has any of you ever sucked on a piece of candy? No? No one ever did? Sure you did. You all did. Okay. So, just like you suck on a piece of candy, you know. So sweet and nice. And that way, you should suck on the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Just relish the sweet flavor of Hare Krishna. You see? And don't spit it out. You wouldn't spit out a piece of candy, would you? No. Keep that in the mouth and get every bit of sweetness out of it. So just like you suck a piece of candy, you should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So sweet. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Why I can't concentrate well while chanting japa? Well, one thing is you might not be getting up early in the morning. The best time is before sunrise. They can only chant 4 or 5 rounds a day because they're not focused. Once the day gets, there's different, you have to understand, there's different modes of nature at different times of the day. Before sunrise, it's sattvagun. When the sun comes up, it's rajagun. When the sun goes down, it's tamagun. Sattvagun is the meditative mode. Rajagun is the doing mode, do things, going, doing this. And tamagun is the sleeping mode, the ignorance mode. So you have to take advantage of the modes. Get up early before sunrise during the meditative mode, sattvagun, and go deep into the mantra, you see. There's no distractions then. You have to learn how to chant when the best time for chanting is there. And then it'll be easier. You can explain why Krishna accepts the raw rice that Sudama's wife gave to Krishna, and that what example want to give to him human in the earth? Oh, that's their signature. I'm a human in the earth. Okay. Human in the earth is one of our members here. Welcome. Human in the earth, you're welcome. We're going to take you out of the earth to Goloka. Love is the real thing. But you think, well, you know, I don't feel like cooking. I just want to offer Krishna some raw rice. Because I don't feel like cooking. And because he accepted the raw rice from Sudama, he'll accept it from me. And I, you know, not want to worry cook him anything. And I mean, after all, Sudama gave the raw rice and he got his wife became like a demigoddess. And he achieved unlimited wealth and opulence. His little broken down hut became a huge marble palace. And hey, that's pretty good. I'm just going to offer some raw rice to Krishna and wait for unlimited wealth and opulence to come to me. No. You have to study the mood of Sudama. And you have to develop the mood of Sudama, you see. You read in the Krishna book what is the mood of Sudama. You develop that mood. You said that to be qualified to attain Krishna is to become dasa, dasa, nidasa. So does it mean that we must be dasa of our senior devotees or to all other devotees? No senior, and the seniors and the juniors also? Why only to the senior, junior devotees? Why are you limiting it? Why not to every single living entity? Throughout all of existence. You see? That's what preaching means. I am your servant, therefore I must come to you and give you Prabhupada's books. I must come to you and tell you about Krishna. Just like I am this das of all of you here today. I have come here to give you Krishna, to serve you. You understand? We are the das of them also, you see. We want to help them come to the platform of pure love of God. Actually, Prabhupada liked the Muslim prayers. When he went to Tehran, he very much appreciated how they're praying, you see. So we appreciate, instead of calling out some nonsense, they want to glorify the Lord. The life of a devotee is supposed to always be blissful. Shut these windows. But why many times he's in distress? Is it due to karma or the influence of the modes? You all in that room can come in. We have room for you here. Come in here. You can sit here. We have room for you right here. You can sit here. If you, that's a little better. How long did they go on with this? 20 minutes? 5 minutes? 3 minutes? Why don't we just wait? They chant 5 times a day, but we chant, our program is 24 hours a day chanting. So the life of a devotee is supposed to be always blissful. It is always blissful. The life of a devotee is unlimited bliss at every minute. That's the life of a devotee. So why many times he's in distress? It means he's not fully a devotee yet. He's still a karmi to a certain extent. Whatever, to whatever extent you're a devotee, you're tasting unlimited bliss at every minute. Whatever extent you're not tasting unlimited bliss, to that extent you're not yet a devotee. You haven't fully made the transition from materialist to spiritualist yet. So don't feel bad. It's natural for a neophyte devotee who's not fully a devotee. Neophyte means he's not fully a devotee yet. He's partially a devotee and partially a non-devotee. So whatever extent you're in bliss, spiritual bliss, to that extent you're a devotee. To every extent you're still in anxiety about this, that, and so many things. That means you're not, that's your materialistic contamination still sitting in the heart. Is reading Bhagavad Gita beneficial to the dead on a morning ceremony? Sure. It benefits all living entities throughout the whole universe. Kirtan benefits all living entities. Everyone is benefited. It is all auspicious. And it benefits every living entity. Of course, there's no one really dead. There's no such thing as death. If you think someone's dead, you're wrong. No one's dead. No one ever dies. Only the body dies, and so on, but the self never dies. What are the benefits? What are the benefits do one deserve in praying to Sri Krishna? Do one journey? D-E-R-N-E? I don't know. What are the benefits do we derive? Yeah, there we go, derive. I see, IV looked like an N. Yeah, it's derive. What benefits do we derive in praying to Sri Krishna? You awaken the dormant love for Krishna within your heart, and that is the ultimate benefit of existence. Any other benefit is not very important. The important benefit is you develop love for God, because that's the only thing that can satisfy the self. Any other benefit is not going to really satisfy you. Only developing love for God will satisfy you. There are devotees who are chanting for more than 10 or 20 years but could not achieve the point of accepting a spiritual master. What is preventing him or her that he should be work out to achieve the point of accepting a guru and be initiated? That means they're not serious about developing pure love of God, or they're ignorant of what is the process of developing pure love of God, or the leaders are not properly training them. What is the process of developing pure love of God? That means they're not reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada very clearly describes, from Rupa Goswami, what are the steps of achieving perfection. The first thing is called Shraddha, you have faith in the process. Number two, Sadhu Sangha, you associate with devotees. Number three, you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. Number four, now you gradually get free of all the dirt in your heart and become fixed up in Krishna consciousness and then progress to higher stages. The point is, until you accept a guru, you can't clean the anarthas out of your heart because you're maintaining your pride. You're maintaining your desire for independence. You can never become pure until you have a spiritual master. You never become pure. Why? Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta stite janaha, mag bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear, this is in the Adi Purana. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. In other words, until you accept a guru, Krishna doesn't accept you as his devotee. Of course, if you're new and you're getting ready to accept a guru, that's all right. Then he accepts you. But if you think, well, I'm not going to take a guru, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna, you'll never be accepted. You see? I tried it myself when I was a young boy, young man. I told the devotees, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. I won't be a disciple of Prabhupada. I was so foolish, boy, you see. But they showed me, they said, don't you see this verse? Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Krishna, you're a devotee of Krishna? Very good. Now follow Krishna. Krishna says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him, give your life in service to him. In this way, he will reveal the truth unto you, you see. So, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? To be a devotee of Krishna? Then actually follow Krishna. You're chanting Hare Krishna saying, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. I'm now your surrendered devotee. Please engage me in your service. And Krishna says, okay, take a guru. Oh, no. No, 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 no. This is hypocrisy. Krishna, please engage me in your service. Okay, accept a guru. No, I won't do it. But please engage me in your service. All right, you see how silly it is? It's like you come to me and say, I'd like to do some service. I say, well, I need someone to sweep the room downstairs. Oh no, I'm not going to do that. Please give me some service. I want you to sweep the room down. No, I don't want to do that, but just give me some service. And I'm giving you some service, but you won't accept it. You're asking for service, and the service is given, and you're refusing it. And you keep asking for it, and I keep giving to you, and you keep refusing it. This is called nama-parad. Prabhupada explains that without initiation, your service will not be accepted. Of course, in the beginning, it's okay, as you're qualified to have a spiritual master. But if you have this mood, no, I will not take a guru, I refuse to, I just want to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will not accept your service. Your chanting will not be accepted. You're not making spiritual progress. Unless you come to your senses and realize, I need a spiritual master. I need to get initiated. I need to follow the order of Krishna, the order of Prabhupada. That's it. So that's the end of the questions. Any more questions? That's the end of the whole stack of questions here. So if there's no further questions, we can wrap it up. And stop here, and we thank you all very much for coming today. I'm just delighted to see so many people have come to hear about Krishna, to hear about the process of Krishna consciousness, to chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees. Please do this. Make this your life and soul.
you see, to awaken your Krishna consciousness. Please make this the goal of your life, that I must awaken pure love of God within my heart. Nothing else really matters. Ultimately, I have one duty, one goal, one aspiration in my life, and that is to awaken pure love of God within my heart. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Sankarshan Dasa Adhikari Prabhu ki jai.